This is WCNY's The Capitol Press Room, and we're examining what the recently adopted state budget means for college students as well as New York's colleges and universities. To discuss what's getting funded and what's not, we're joined by Assembly Higher Education Committee Chair Pat Fahey, an Albany area Democrat. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's our pleasure. Heading into three-way negotiations with the governor, the Democratic majorities in both houses were hoping to get some big changes in the state's tuition assistance program, including raising the maximum income eligibility threshold to $125,000, boosting the minimum award to $1,000, and expanding the number of semesters over five academic years that could be eligible for state assistance. Does the finalized budget address those three areas or others that were part of the so-called Turn on the Tap campaign?
Not all of them, but some of them. So we do consider it a very successful campaign and a worthwhile one. In fact, I'm incredibly proud of it. And even hashtags sometimes work, right? Hashtag turn on the tap. And we started really back in the fall with holding a hearing. Then we did op-ed pieces. We did a few different press events and countless e-blasts about it. A very joint effort with the Senate, with Senator Toby Stavisky. And the bottom line is, I learned last year after becoming higher education chair that TAP is 50 years old. And for the last 25 years, almost a quarter century, we've essentially ignored it, right? For 25 years, we haven't raised the income eligibility from 80,000, and we did just succeed with increasing that to 125. We haven't raised the minimum award. We haven't changed the number of semesters, on and on and on. And when TAP was created, it was intended to match and cover what college tuition was in New York State. It no longer does that. So I feel that we've succeeded on a whole host of fronts. Did we get everything? No. But in what became a very tough and delayed budget, I'm really proud of what we did get.
So does expanding the eligibility pool as well as the minimum tuition awards come with additional funding, or does this just mean that more students might be competing for the same amount of resources?
It will come with more resources because we want more students. We don't want them chasing after the same dollar. So it's estimated that it will be about $60-plus million in additional TAP dollars, and that will be there. So that falls under HESC, the Higher Education Service Corporation, and the funding was put into the budget to follow. We had to do estimates of what each of these additions or expansions to TAP would cost, and each of them had a certain cost. I want to say, you know, roughly $4 to $6 million on just increasing the minimum award from $500 to $1,000, raising it from $80,000 to $125,000 will have a certain dollar cost. All combined, it's going to cost roughly $60 million or $66 million. They were playing with a few different estimates toward the very end, and I think it was 66 or so in the end in terms of additional dollars. The key additional change that we also received is raising the income threshold for independent students, whether they're married or just independent of their family's income. In other words, those who have already aged out and are no longer on their parents' payroll, it's what I often refer to as the non-traditional student. We're not going to turn around enrollment unless we can really get after that non-traditional student, and we need them back. That, for me, was one of the biggest successes, was increasing the independent student income eligibility, which was as low as $10,000. We've now increased it to $30,000. So that also cost millions more. Again, the whole package for Turn on the Tap ended up costing over $60 million. And we're really proud of that. Did we get everything? Of course not.
Well, sticking with the tuition assistance program, it's my understanding that the maximum award, which goes to the neediest students, still doesn't cover the full tuition cost of attending SUNY or CUNY schools. And while the Excelsior Scholarship might fill in the gaps, that program is more restrictive in its applications than TAP. So why was it important to prioritize raising the minimum award as opposed to raising the maximum award?
Believe me, we wanted both. And if you look back at our campaign, if you look back at the two major press events we held on this, I think it was January and then early March, in both of those we had raising the maximum award, because up until 2011, whatever the state tuition was, TAP would equal that. It was decoupled in the early Andrew Cuomo administration. So it's lost ground. Right now, the tuition for a SUNY, on average, a SUNY school is about $7,000. The maximum TAP award is $5,665. The Senate, to their credit, did add in $500. That fell off in the budget. So we did not achieve that. As I said, we didn't get everything. But it was also important to do the minimum award because we need to tell all students, we have your back. $1,000 may not go far, but if you're at a community college or if you're part-time, that can make a difference, especially if you're getting $1,000 in tuition reimbursement from your job, which is very common, or qualifying for other types of scholarships. As you mentioned, the Pell Grant pays a lot more of the tuition if you qualify. So we think this is going to go a long way toward encouraging more students back into higher education, and we are working against some real negatives here. Birth rates are down, and we have seen a population loss in New York. That's why it's so important to also get at those non-traditional students.
Well, before we move on to other areas of the budget, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. This is the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Assembly Higher Education Committee Chair Pat Fahey, an Albany area Democrat. So in advance of this budget season, we heard from some SUNY campuses as well as faculty and staff in the SUNY system about the need for investment in some of the financially struggling colleges and universities. We've seen some members of the SUNY system have to institute some significant program cuts in order to, for lack of a better word, right-size their offerings. Does this budget include any additional operating aid so that if Chancellor King decides, they could direct some additional aid to these financially struggling schools?
Absolutely. And I'm immensely proud of the work. It was probably one of the last additions into the budget, and that was an additional $60 million in SUNY operating aid, an additional $40 million in CUNY operating aid. That will go a long way. Rough estimate for UAlbany, that could be as much as $5 million out of that, out of that $60 million. So it will go a long way towards serving the distressed campuses you just referred to, but helping all the comprehensive colleges, which are all the four-year ones. We also got a not as much as we wanted, but we did get a separate increase for the community colleges. Doesn't go as far as we wanted, but remember, they also got the 3% that they would have had in additional dollars had they been able to raise tuition. So they have a $54 million increase, which would have been a tuition increase had they been able to raise tuition. Instead, they got $54 million at SUNY. I think it's $38 million at CUNY. On top of that, an additional $60 million. And we need it because these campuses had really struggled for many years between COVID, between the last recession. So this is really helping to turn matters around. As you know, we have food insecurity. We have the COVID cohort coming in. By all accounts, they have less academic skills, especially in math, as the national studies are showing us.
Unless you check out their graduation rates, which have remained relatively high
right,
and unchanged.
Right. We're still graduating, and college presidents will tell you that they're seeing a skills drop. So we need that operating aid because they need to work with these children. A lot of this is also for mental health services. That was one of the very last things to be pinned down on the budget, and we're incredibly proud of getting that funding. So it's 2 years in a row. It's taken some relentless advocacy, but very proud of my colleagues who have supported these dollars and appreciative of the speaker who really went to bat for this, as well as, again, Senator Stavisky and many other senators.
So thinking elsewhere in terms of support for higher education, it's my understanding that Bundy aid, which is state support to independent colleges and universities, was cut over previous years. Considering the financial crisis for these schools, as we've seen some close their doors in this area, why was this the right move?
This is not what we proposed. Bundy aid has for decades been additional aid to help support scholarship and other funds for needy students at private and independent colleges. That was about a $17 million cut, and the governor proposed that the most well-endowed private institutions not receive that money. The Senate and the Assembly had put that in. And we fought for it, but in the end, that was that fell off the table, as we like to say. It was another one we didn't get, just like with the as with the TAP aid. So it was actually it was a conversation the same day that we were fighting over additional SUNY and CUNY aid. So it was one that became tougher to defend. If you've got a $2 billion endowment, it was hard to argue that we needed that. I think it was 17 million, 17 to 18 million for 17 private colleges. And again, the St. Rose, as you know, St. Rose is closing at the end of this academic year, which has been quite devastating. And we've seen cutbacks, as you referred to, at Potsdam, at SUNY Fredonia, and others. We've lost Cazenovia as a private college. Cazenovia, St. Rose, those types of colleges, their Bundy aid continues. That does not change. They do have nowhere near the endowments that other colleges like a Cornell or an NYU have. Those it is only your extremely well-endowed colleges that would see the loss of that Bundy aid. And again, we would have preferred to keep it, but those are some of the tough trade-offs. As I said, lots of wins and losses.
Well, finally, with the time we have left, I'm curious if there's any other nuggets in this budget on the higher education front that maybe aren't getting the highlights the same way some of the other issues we talked about, but they still maybe mean something to you, either because of their unique nature or because of just how hard they were to get in this budget.
Well, one I'm going to jump out with is the SUNY Medical Center. It's the SUNY Medical School. It's relatively new. It replaced another one whose name I'm forgetting, but it's right there at the CCNY, the City Colleges of New York. It's in Harlem, and they produce, it's the size of a matchbox practically, the tiny rooms in a small part of a larger campus, and yet they're producing about 100 medical doctors every year. Almost all children or students, again, from low-income backgrounds, and almost all students of color who end up staying and serving New York. So we were able to get an additional $4 million for them. They have never received a separate set-aside, unlike the upstate hospital or downstate SUNY hospital. They've never had any type of additional medical funding to train and grow more doctors. As you know, as higher education chair, we also oversee health professions, including a lot of health professions. We are in a desperate, desperate need for doctors and nurses. This is such a small program, and it's one of the most impressive I've ever toured. So to think that for that small investment, we are really going to help them with recruitment and growing even more doctors who are from the New York area and stay in the New York area. As you know, we educate a lot of folks in New York. We're one of those who spend a lot of money educating, including right. doctors, and we often lose them to other states. These are doctors we'll keep.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Assembly Higher Education Committee Chair Pat Fahey. She's an Albany area Democrat. Assembly member, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate
it. Thank you. And forgot to mention all the increased investments in the opportunity programs. That's EOP and HEOP.
Sounds like some content for a future show.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. Visit unionstrongny.org for more information. Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.